When I was a kid, I'd often turn my family's living room into a courtroom, whereby I'd put my parents on trial for what I believed to be disproportionate punishments. One case got so heated that I told my mother to just shut up and listen. Sorry, Mom. Sometimes I'd get the, "I'm the parent, that's final verdict," but she afforded me the opportunity for rebuttal. I was allotted a space to develop my voice without feeling judged or censored. This built confidence and translated into future experiences. I became a co-host of a radio show, a contributor to news outlets, a sports writer, and a public speaker. I've enjoyed free speech in settings that honored what I had to say. Eventually, I learned that's not the case for everyone. I returned to my hometown and took a job as a director of a program that serves at-risk teenagers, many of whom are minorities. I was excited, another place I could use my voice. When I started, I lectured them too much. It's what I was used to, talking. Luckily, I had a transformative moment when a young man challenged me to just shut up and listen. Right then, I saw a piece of myself, and I took the place of my mom in my living room. I listened, and the teens started to open up. It was slow at first. Some of them didn't make eye contact. They would mumble under their breath. I asked myself, what's the problem? Then it dawned on me. This was new to so many of them, for I had spoken freely in the world that felt like a living room to me, inclusive and comfortable. I never had to vet my words. Society just accepted them. I heard just about anything you can imagine from my teens. One told me about his broken relationship with his single mom, another about her struggles with being gay. But the most heartbreaking issue, some believed their voice did not or would not matter. I challenged them to speak up. After one of our more intense discussions, a young man pulled me aside and asked, "Why should I care if nobody's going to listen anyway?" That struck a nerve. He had given up already. Listening to him further, I learned why. A minority in this country needs to scream to be heard, whereas a white guy like me only ever needed to whisper. I have been offered a microphone at every turn in my life. It's time for me and others to hand it over. I've seen it too often, a white person grabbing the mic when there's a chance to let someone of color take center stage. If you'd got to know some of my teens, you'd be blown away. One of them was so creative that I have a tattoo on my leg he sketched for me to show how seriously I take his artistry. Another who called himself an average guy when we first met doesn't make excuses about coming from a single-parent home. He's at UD now, with me, and excelling. A girl struggling with her confidence became our program's leader and gave a speech at a major event. Big crowd, she brought them to tears. I hope my daughter's like her one day. If I had never shut up and listened, I would have missed out on learning from them. And that's what some of you are missing out on. What I see from some of my white peers is the polar opposite. They don't want to learn or to grow or to understand. They want to judge or to be right. They just want to win. In the past few months, I've logged on to social media pages to see a person of color sharing a Black Lives Matter post and a white person interjecting with, "Don't all lives matter?" I've seen white people distort the message behind the NFL protest, diverting attention on its true purpose related to police killings of unarmed black men. More praising Trump's proposed border wall, knowing well Hispanic Facebook friends would see it. We are building walls every day with choices like that, instead of building living rooms. Why do you think it was so difficult for my teens to open up at first, especially to a white guy? Because they were used to being met with open mouths and closed ears. We've done more than our fair share of talking. Let's just shut up and listen.